read the whole psalm. It's just 9 verses. Looking at the message title, The Expression of His Majesty. The Expression of His Majesty. And I believe this is a word that's going to be an equipping word for us today. So let's read the psalm together, and then we'll pray and jump in. It tells us this. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them. You have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet, all flocks and herds and the animals of the wild, the birds in the sky and the fish in the sea, all that swim the paths of the sea. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this encouraging psalm. I pray that you would equip us, challenge us, convict us, change us, build us through it as we consider it this morning. In the strong name of Jesus, we pray. Church, if you pray with me from home right now, just pray, Father, help me to see you in all your glory and majesty. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, my wife and I, we like to watch sometimes these food shows that come on television, on the Food Network and stuff, cooking shows, and maybe you like those as well. Shows where they prepare different dishes, and they have different celebrity chefs on them, or sometimes amateurs. You can learn different cooking tricks from them, and I can kind of hold my own in the kitchen. And I'm not as good as she is, but I can hold my own with some things in there as well. And we watch them to glean things from them and learn things. And there's a phrase that's used on those shows sometimes and over some restaurants, and that's the phrase comfort food, comfort food. What comfort food really is it's food that's nostalgic. It's food that might be sentimental to us. And usually when we say comfort food, we also mean food that's not all that nutritious. It's just food that we really like to eat and kind of takes us back to our childhood and things like that. It's foods like mac and cheese and good mac and cheese, baked mac and cheese, not just that Kraft box stuff necessarily. And it's food like pizza and cheeseburgers and french fries and chicken pie. Comfort food for me, fried chicken with biscuits and gravy, maybe some turnip greens, come on, some seasoned green beans. That'll take me back. That's comfort food for me. Now, depending on where you comfort food can be any variety of foods you remember from your youth and food that just sort of take you back in your memory. So for you, comfort food might be pupusas. Comfort food might be tamales or tacos or curry and roti or arroz con pollo or rice and peas. Whatever it is for you that takes you back, that's your comfort food. It's different for all of us. The point is, they're foods that just make us feel good. When I read the Bible, the Psalms are comfort food to me in the Bible. They're passages when I read them, I'm like, man, that's just an encouraging word. That's just a word that helps me to grasp God better and who I am in Him. And they're kind of the comfort food of God's Word as we walk through them. And Psalm 8 has that in common with so many other Psalms. In it, David writes of the majesty of God, and in particular of how God's majesty is reflected. Majesty, you say, what does that mean, majesty? Majesty speaks of God's sovereign power. It speaks of His royalty. Majesty speaks of God's splendor and his glory. It speaks of God's beauty. And majesty is even used as a name for God in the Bible. God is referred to not simply as majestic, but he's referred to as majesty. Consider a couple of verses with me here as we're jumping in. Hebrews 8:1, it tells us this. We do not have such a high priest who sat down at the right... We do have... Wow, that'd be a big mistake. We do have such a high priest who sat down at the right hand at the throne of the majesty in heaven. When it says the majesty, there it's talking about God the Father himself. He is the majesty in heaven. Hebrews 1:3 tells us this. The Son, speaking of Jesus, the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven, praise God. That's who God is, the majesty of God, who God is in all his glory. That's what Psalm 8 gives God praise for. And in Psalm 8, the psalmist gives us three ways in particular that are really highlighted in it that God's majesty is revealed to us and in us in our lives. And I want to encourage us today with the truth that we ourselves are expressions of the majesty of God. But first, we want to look at how David described the majesty of God in his psalm. And when we see how he described it, it'll help us to better picture how the majesty of God is revealed in us and our lives as well and who we are to him. So the first verse of the psalm, David notes his first way, and that is that the name of God reveals the majesty of God. The name of God reveals his majesty. The Bible doesn't say in the psalm we read that God's name is majestic in all the Bible-believing churches. Now, that's true, but that isn't what it says. The Bible doesn't say in Psalm 8 that the name of God is majestic in the homes of those who call on the name of the Lord. That's true, but that isn't what it says. The Bible doesn't say that the name of God is majestic to all those who believe in Jesus. That's true, but that isn't what it says. What it says is that God's name is majestic in all the earth. That means God's name is just as majestic at the club as it is at church. Come on. No matter where you are, the name of God is the name of God. The name of God doesn't move up and down on some majesty scale, depending on where you are, how you're doing. God's name is always a revealing, a revelation of the majesty of God, of his sovereign power, of his beauty, of his glory, of who he is in all the earth, praise God. No matter where you are or where you go, the name of God always carries with it all power and authority and the majesty of God. Now, an unbeliever in their life may not experience the same results when they use the name of God as the child of the Lord. We see that demonstrated even in God's word. But that's not because God's name was less powerful. That's simply because of who they were in the context of that situation. God's name always is full of God's power. That being the case, no matter where you ever find yourself, whatever your situation, even if you got yourself into it, because come on, most of the trouble I've had in life, I got myself into. Nobody else brought it on. No matter how you got into it, you always call on the name of the Lord, because the name of the Lord is majestic in all the earth. This would be a really good place for you to type amen in, or if you don't know how to do that, just yell it out and maybe we'll hear you. The name of God is majestic in all the earth. Praise God. Or maybe just give me one of those thumbs up if you're watching on Facebook or something like that. Yeah. Listen, names don't mean as much to us today. I know we like names and things like that, but names are a little different in 2021 than they were a few thousand years ago and even a couple thousand years ago when the Bible was written. In America in 2020, I looked it up, the most popular names given in the United States in 2020 for girls were in order from 1 to 4 were Sophia, Olivia, Riley, and Emma. That's the most popular names given last year in our country to girls. For boys, the most popular names given for boys were Liam, Noah, I was kind of surprised with that one, Jackson, and Aiden. Just for the record, James was 17th on the list, but I feel like we're going to make a comeback in 2021. We'll see how it goes. So, the most popular names in the year. But we pick these names just because we like how they sound. Or they're trendy. It kind of fits that era. Names will kind of show where someone came from. The snowstorm that came this past weekend, if you saw in the news or anywhere, it was named Orlena. That really stood out to me because that's my grandmother's name. But that's a name that nobody has anymore. It's from way back when that we would use that. Names show when we came from and times and things like that as well. But when the Bible was written, names weren't generally given that way. When the Bible was written, names were given to express specific things. Names were reflective of your family and where you came from, and they were statements of character. They reflected divine purpose and intent over people's lives. And when you spoke someone's name, you described and defined the essence of that person, of their being and their life. And for the psalmist, other believers of the Old Testament, the name of God was like that and still is like that, of course, in our lives today. There's a lot of different names for God in the Bible. When David wrote in Psalm 8 that the name of God reveals his majesty, that's true, but he doesn't give a specific one in the psalm. And in the Bible, there's a bunch of different ones that are used. All are majestic, but there's one name that encompasses all of them. In Genesis 22:14, when Abraham called the name of the Lord, he called him Jehovah Jireh. He said, "The Lord will provide." I love that name for God, but when I'm in need, I just call on the name of Jesus. Come on, because the name of Jesus encompasses all of the names of God, and it's a majestic name. In Exodus 17:15, when Moses called on the name of the Lord, he called him Jehovah Nissi. The Lord is my banner, or the Lord is my victory. He says God's name was the flag over him, a banner over his life. And come on, the name of Jesus is that banner over our lives today. When Gideon needed some peace, he called upon the name Jehovah Shalom. The Lord is my peace. And we know today that it is through Jesus that we experience that peace that surpasses all understanding. Praise God. And if you asked Ezekiel who was the Lord over Jerusalem, he would tell you Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. And we know when we gather together today in the name of Jesus, come on, he's always there with us. He's that for us and so much more. When Jeremiah prophesied of a Messiah to come, he called him Jehovah Tsidkenu. He said, "The Lord is our righteousness." Come on, who's our righteousness but Jesus Christ himself? Our own works are as filthy rags before a holy God. It's the name of Jesus that we call on. He's the same today. The same God who answered Abraham and Moses and Gideon and Ezekiel and Jeremiah and David and all the others who called on the name of the God. The name of God in their time. The name of God, when we call on it today, is just as majestic. Let me show you a verse. It should show up, pop up on the screen before you, or you can flip to it if you've got a Bible there as well. Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. It tells us this: therefore God exalted him to the highest place. Him, of course, is Jesus in this context. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Come on, somebody say Jesus. Say it a little louder so I can hear you here at the church. Type it in. Type it in the stream or in the feed. Text it to somebody. The name of God is powerful. So David wrote in Psalm 8 that the name of God revealed his majesty, because that name was so powerful. But then he moves in this little psalm as well, and he says, not only is the name of God something that reveals God's majesty, but the glory and praises of God do as well. The glory and the praises of God are majestic. What Juliana and Abner just did up here in the church, it was majestic. It was a revelation of the majesty of God. In your home, as you were singing the praises of God, it was the revelation of the majesty of God. Listen to this verse right here. We read it. We read this in the psalm, but I want to read you a portion of it really quick again. It said this: you have set your glory in the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold to silence the foe and the avenger. That's quite the contrast. What I just read, maybe you caught it, maybe you didn't, but that's a real contrast. It said you've set your glory in heavens, but then it also said that through the praises of children and infants, you silence the avenger and the foe. That's a real contrast from the glory of heavens to just a little baby. That's like everything in between, and to go all together. It's as if we could go as high as we could go to as low as we could go. And I want you to catch this, that God's majesty is expressed in a universal way, but also in very simple fashion. Because you see, like the psalmist, when I gaze up at the heavens, they're pretty awe-inspiring to me. Walking at night, and I look up at the sky, and I see all the stars spread out on a beautiful night. It's pretty awe-inspiring. It's like, this is incredible how big this is, how massive this is, and it brings that awe to us. It brings a majestic wonder to it as well. But equally inspiring can be the praises of God from the lips of a little child, I'll tell you, when I'm in church sometimes and I can look out over the sanctuary, and oftentimes I know that church can be tough for little kids when they're with big people, but sometimes in the midst of it, you'll just see some 4 or 5 year old kid, 3 year old kid, just standing there with their hands up, singing praises to God. It's incredible to see it. It's like, look at that. Look at that little child singing the praises of God. It's amazing to see it, or bowing their heads or knees in prayer. I remember once when we took our 4-year-old son Nathaniel to the doctor, and I can't even remember what the visit was about, but he was sick from something, and we took him to the doctor, and the doctor checked him out, and after checking him out, the doctor made some statement over him to say, he's going to be all right. And my little 4-year-old son sitting there on the little bench in the doctor's office chimed up and said, thank the Lord for that. He was just a little kid, and he's giving God praise. And I will tell you, he had a teacher at the time, one of his preschool teachers, who used to say thank the Lord for just about everything all the time. I don't care if it was a taco or a miracle. So he really, I got to give a shout out to Sister Willa Paris. He really picked up on that from his well, but he's seen it in us, of course. From the expansion expanse of the heavens to infinity. Both are equal expressions of the majesty and the glory of God and of the name of God. Why would God use such diversity in expressing his majesty? Well, the psalmist tells us, we read it. It says, to silence the foe and the avenger. To silence the foe and the avenger. Now remember, the devil can't really touch you unless God let him. Anything that comes my way, your way, we know is Father filter. We don't have to live our lives scared of the devil. We know that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. That's why the Bible says that the devil roams around like a roaring lion. He's not really an attacking lion. He's just loud. He's just trying to scare us, to make us worry, fill us with anxiety, fill us with fear and things like this in our lives. Thank God that greater is he that is in us. But the Bible tells us here that the praises of God silence the foe and the avenger. That's pretty amazing. Remember what David is going through when he writes this. He's not sitting out in the field under a beautiful sunset with his harp singing praises and the sheep are baying, the harmony line with him. That isn't where he is when he writes Psalm 8. He's running for his life. Saul is pursuing him and trying to kill him, and David is hiding in caves. And that context, David says, the presence of God, the praises of God, silence the foe and the avenger. That context makes this whole thing just awesome to me. You want to shut the devil's mouth? When you get voices in your head of doubt and worry and fear and anxiety that would come your way, you want to shut the devil's mouth? Give God some glory. Give God praise. And that just shuts it down, is what he's saying. Live your life in such a way that life is an expression of the majesty of God, like slapping the devil in the mouth. Now, cartoons when I was a kid were the Jetsons and the Flintstones and Bugs Bunny. And I guess that dates me a bit, even though those cartoons are kind of still around. And cartoons back then, and they weren't always all that politically correct. They didn't always have the most valuable lessons in them as we look back on them now. And I can remember watching Bugs Bunny as a kid, and Bugs Bunny had a line he would say sometimes to Yosemite Sam or to Elmer Fudd or one of those guys, where he would say, "Ah, shut up," and then he would slap him. You can watch old cartoons, and he will be encountering one of these guys, and he'll tell him to shut up, and then he just slaps him in that situation. Well, when the enemy tries to discourage you, and you praise God anyway, it's like saying to the devil, "Ah, shut up," and just slapping him in the face. It's saying, I'm silencing the voice of my foe and the avenger. So put that into practice. You're at work, and the boss comes in and says, "Hey, you know, things are tough in this COVID climate. We're going to downsize some. Some of our employees have to go. We're sorry. We're not going to be able to keep you on at this time." When that happens, you look at your boss and you say, "Ah, shut up," and just slap him in the... No, don't really do that. Don't really do that. What you do is you give God praise, because your boss is not your avenger and your foe. You give God praise because it's our foe that would want to bring fear to our hearts in that situation. So we praise God anyway, and it silences the voice of our avenger. You're at home, and your spouse comes to you and says, "Well, you know, things are really tight this month. I don't think we're going to have enough money to pay everything we owe." You look at your husband or your wife and you say, "Ah, shut up," and you just, no, don't do that. We praise God anyway, even in the set of circumstances, and that's what we're doing to our enemy, is what Psalm 8 tells us. Giving God praise is how we silence the voice of the avenger, praise God. It's the devil's mouth that we really want to shut up. And he'll just keep roaring, so keep giving God praise and silence the enemy. God's majesty is revealed in his name. God's majesty is revealed in his praises. And there's just the last thing here, and that is that David points out that God's majesty is revealed in the creation of God. In the creation of God. Now, I want to read verses 3 through 8. I know I read them when we started, but I want to read them again to catch us up and get you on the same page with this. It says this: "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them? You have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet, all flocks and herds and the animals of the all the birds of the sky and the fish in the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas." It's as if David is considering all of God's creation to consider what is the fullest expression of the majesty of God. Is it the heavens? Is it the work of God's fingers? Is it the moon? Is it the stars? Is it all that God has set in place? Is it the animals? Is it the fish? Is it the birds? The question is rhetorical. The end conclusion of it is, of all of God's creation, what most reveals the majesty of God is you. It's me. We're who was created in the image of God. We're who are here to reveal the majesty of God and the splendor of God. It's you and I. And it brings David to this rhetorical question where he says, what is mankind that you're mindful of him, the Son of Man that you care for him? He says, Lord, considering all of creation, why do you care so much about us? Why would we be so high on this list? It would seem like the operation of the solar system would be more important than me. And yet, God cares about you, cares about me most, is what's revealed there. I would think the activities of heaven would be more important than we are, but they aren't. Does it make sense that God, in light of all his creation, is so concerned with us? I don't know if it makes sense. I just know it's true. I just know it's true. That God does care for us that way. We are expressions of the majesty of Almighty God. Now, so is all of creation. But the conclusion there is that God is most mindful of us. God cares most for us. God created you to be an expression of his power, of his glory, of his splendor, of his wonder. We are an expression of the majesty of God. So that's who we want to be. The name of God we looked at. Juliana, I want to invite you to come, because I want to sing that how great is our God to close today. The name of God, as we looked at, is an expression. Abner, why don't you come and join her? Is an expression of the majesty of God. The praises of God are an expression of the majesty of God. So if the name of God is an expression of his majesty, then call on his name. If the praises of God are an expression of the majesty of God, then sing his praise. And all of humanity, all of creation, with humanity at the center, is an expression of his majesty. So rest in that truth and let God be revealed through your life. David concluded it with this phrase, "O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth." Praise God. Hey, I want to encourage you, if you're watching at home, to stir yourself right now. Maybe you don't stand up, Maybe you just need to shift in your seat. Maybe you need to move right now. But I want you to stir yourself right now, because we want to respond to this. I want to challenge you to call on the name of the Lord. Juliana is going to come and lead us. Let's sing again, How Great Is Our God. Come on, our praises silence the avenger. They silence the foe. You can say, you know, Pastor, I'm really up against this. I'm dealing with this situation. This is bringing fear in my life. I don't know what I'm going to do in this situation. Doubts in my head. Sing his praise. Sing his praise. And if you think, man, I feel like I'm lost in the midst of all of this. Does God really care? Come on. God cares more for you than anything. You reveal the majesty of God. The majesty of God. Let's sing this together, and then I want to come back and pray over you today. Amen.
His hand. And my heart will sing how great is our God. Sing that again, name of all names. You have the name above all names. Yes, you do. And you are worthy of all praise. And my heart will sing, how great is our God. How great is our God. Sing and all will see, and all will see how great, is our God. Father, we thank you, Lord God, that in all of your majesty and as powerful as you are, Lord God, that you're revealed in simple ways to us. The heavens reveal your majesty, but so do the praises of a little child. Your name is majestic in all the earth. Hallelujah. Creation itself and everything in it, it reveals who you are, Lord God. We thank you for that, Lord God. And we thank you, Lord God, that your praises reveal your very majesty, and they silence our foe and our avenger. I pray your peace over everyone listening to me, Lord God. I pray your peace that surpasses all understanding over every situation right now. And I pray, Lord God, that this week, when our foe tries to sneak back in and bring in doubt or discouragement or fear, I pray that we will call on your name and sing your praise. We will consider, Lord God, how even we ourselves are who you are most mindful of. And we will praise your majesty, Lord God. We thank you for these truths. We thank you in the strong name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Hey, I'm so glad you joined us today. I'm so glad you were a part of this. Keep singing God's praise and calling on his name all week long. This is your last chance to text your picture in. If you haven't done that yet, you can still text us a picture of your jersey, and we'll post later online who gets that pizza. God bless you. Live victoriously in Christ Jesus this week. That's God's plan for you. Amen.